following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
Have you ever wondered what the Apostle Paul or any of the original apostles would think about us if they were here today to see all the technological advancements that we have at our disposal? We have Bible software, we have the internet, we have telephones, we have cell phones. I can just imagine the Apostle Paul saying, man, you mean to tell me you can contact 20 people in one text message and share the gospel with them at the touch of a, well, most of us here can. Some of you, you're still learning. But just think about what they would say if they saw everything that we had. I mean, you could send an email to 30 or 40 people and just write a letter to them and just boop at the touch of a button. If the Apostle Paul was writing a letter to us today, what would he say? He said, man, why aren't you getting the gospel out even more? If anybody knew anything about wearing themselves out for the gospel's sake, it was the Apostle Paul. He would probably look at what we have, some of the stuff that I have in my office, some of the things that you have in your home, the ability to pick up a telephone and call somebody halfway around the world. And you say, man, I'm just so wore out. I'm tired. Ministry is just wearing me out. Paul would probably say this. He looks, here's what I had to go through to get the gospel out. He said, from the Jews I received 5 times, 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, and in perils of false brethren, in weariness and toil. When's the last time you said that you were in weariness and toil trying to get the gospel out? He also said that in sleeplessness of often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Spiritual endurance. I would have to say that the Apostle Paul was one who had a rock solid faith. He knew what his mission was. He didn't let anything deter him from it. And I just read some of his letters and all the things that he went through. You read through the book of Acts and his church planting missions, 3 of them back to back. I just think, man, how did he get all of that stuff accomplished back in those days? And then I look at my ministry sometime. Here I am, you know, wearing myself out, going 18, 19, 20 hours a day sometimes, and I still can't get everything accomplished that I feel like I need to accomplish. Some of you have experienced that as well, too. Spiritual endurance. What does it take for us to get the gospel out? In Galatians 6, verses 6 through 10, the Apostle Paul talks about the spiritual aspect of sowing and reaping, a principle found all throughout Scripture. And he touches on what it takes and what we need to be aware of to not grow weary while doing good. So many of you have watched little babies learn how to walk. It's something that they know they need to do because they see other human beings modeling it for them. So we try to help them out. We stand them up and they get wobbly on top and wobbly on bottom, and they might try to take one step or pick up a foot, and all of a sudden, boom, they fall down. And they start crying. They start flailing them little legs and them little arms. They're trying and trying and trying. All of a sudden, they pull up next to a couch or a sofa, and they try to pull themselves up, still a little bit wobbly, and then they turn the other direction, and boom, they fall down on their face, and they start kicking and flailing. But they never stop trying to do what they know they need to learn how to do. They wear themselves out, and finally one day, all of a sudden, them little wobbly legs, they start taking one step at a time. And what they've been trying so long to do, what they've been wearing themselves out doing, what they've got bumps and bruises trying to do, they finally learned how to do. They endure everything that it took to learn how to take those baby steps and then begin learning how to walk. So the facility I used to work at, when I first started working there back in 1991, we used to work pretty much all the overtime that they would allow us to work. We always looked forward to Seventh-day Sunday. You get double time pay. You had to work a lot of hours to reach that point. And a lot of people made a living off of that. It would wear you out. It would make you tired, but it definitely helped your checking account quite a bit. But it wasn't good on the body. It just wasn't a healthy lifestyle for you. Until OSHA stepped in, they started doing surveys and research and investigations on mishaps that have taken place in the industry. And what they found was this. They found that any time an incident occurred, there was one key element that was involved in all of them. Somebody somewhere that was involved in that incident, it was either at the end of their shift when they were tired, or they had been working a lot of hours during a turnaround or an outage or something that led up to fatigue. They reached a point to where they were tired, they were mentally drained, they had been through a lot, and they let their guard down and something bad happened. They didn't have the endurance to make it through all the way. And so what they did was they set up a fatigue risk management protocol. We called it FRUMP. You've been FRUMPed. If you worked so many days, you had to get a form filled out from your supervisor saying it was okay for you to work one more day. They looked at the situation. They looked at what you had been through. But most of the times they said, nope, you've gone too far. You're in danger of hurting yourself and hurting everyone around you as well. And sometimes there are those indications. They would tell their coworkers, hey, watch this guy. He's been through a lot. He's frumped right now. He's fatigued. He's at risk. And if anything happens, send him home. So that happens to us as well. In ministry, we do get fatigued. When we go to Dry Creek, the common saying there is that there is no tired like a Dry Creek tired. I've seen pictures of people that just laid out on the floor, passed out because they were wiped out. It's hot during the day. You're up early. You're late at night. They just don't have the endurance that it takes. You want to do the right thing. You want to be able to minister to those people. Ministry is tough sometimes, and I think that's one of the things that the Apostle Paul is giving caution to here. He said, I want you to reap. I want you to sow. I don't want you to grow weary in well-doing. I want you to have the endurance that it takes to make it through what you're going through. Are you tired right now? Are you fatigued? Are you drained? I know I've had people look at me sometimes and they'll just look me in the eyes and say, man, you look wore out. You need a break. I've told people that before. I mean, you can tell the indications are there. Instead of walking all with a spring in their step, their slumped shoulders are talking, they're real short-fused. Some people are like that all the time, but especially when they're tired, it seems to amplify quite a bit. I think the Apostle Paul said, I know what it takes to endure in the ministry. And I know that there are also times when those caution flags are there where you're spiritually drained, you're not as effective as you should be. He said, but nevertheless, we have a mission that we need to keep on going in. So there's four things that I think we can draw out of this passage. On my outline, it has verses 16 through 10. It's supposed to be verse 6 through 10 in chapter 6. So one of the first things that I think he talks about, it happens in verse 6. He's talking about the community or the relationship between a learner and a teacher. So I think for us to gain spiritual endurance, one of the first things that we need to pick up is that we need to never stop learning. We also need to never stop teaching as well. He says, let him who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Now the principle here is to pay the teacher what he is worth, to make sure that he is compensated for his job. But I think if you look at it real close, he says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. So the Apostle Paul gives one of his testimonies in Acts chapter 22, verse 3. He says that he was taught under Gamaliel. Gamaliel was one of the best teachers of his time, back in 20 AD, somewhere around that time. He was a Pharisee. He was an expert on the law. And the Apostle Paul said, that was my teacher. He was the one that taught me. I was trained well. Paul also understood the importance of the teacher and the student relationship. And it stayed with him throughout his life. So there's a time for you to gain spiritual endurance. Then you need to sit under someone else's teaching. You need to be taught the word. In the King James Version, if you're looking at it, it says to share the word. That word taught or share means to literally communicate the word. And so the actual word for communicate is the word koinoneo. It's closely related to the word koinoneo, which means community or to do together, to participate in. Koinonia is the word that has an emphasis on community. So this business about communication between the teacher and the student, the learner and the teacher, I think he's emphasizing community here. He's saying there needs to be a reciprocal relationship here for you to gain spiritual endurance. So never stop learning. Always be a perpetual learner. I can remember my wife's grandma. She used to do crossword puzzles all the time just to keep her brain active. I mean, up until she really started going down here, I can remember her mind just being as sharp as a tack. So learning is a principle that we need to never stop practicing, reading, puzzles, whatever it takes for you to activate your mind and continue learning and growing will help you to gain that spiritual endurance that you need. But all intake and no output is not a healthy thing as well. So we need to never stop teaching. We always need to have someone under our teaching, somebody that we're pouring into. Never stop teaching, never stop learning, and never stop teaching. Always have someone that you are pouring into. The Apostle Paul learned for many years. He learned under Gamaliel. I think that's one of the things that attributes to his spiritual endurance and the way he was able to stay focused in his ministry. But also during his ministry, it wasn't just intake for him as well. He always had somebody that was a protege, a co-worker. He had Timothy that he was pouring into. He had Silas. He had many others that he was working with in his ministry. And if you look at these churches, especially like this church at Galatia, Paul is teaching them, hey, you're saved by the gospel. You're saved by grace. The law is important. It has its impact in your life. It has its importance in your life, but that is not what you're saved by. He was teaching them all about the law and how it pertained to their faith. So for you to gain this spiritual endurance, don't ever, ever, ever stop learning. This whole teaching series that we're going through on Sunday mornings on spiritual disciplines. That's what that's all about. I want you to gain some knowledge through those areas. If there's any one area that you're weak in, if there's any one area that you're not practicing, learn how to do that so you can gain that spiritual endurance and continue moving through your ministry and doing ministry effective as well. He says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Now there's a word here, this little simple three-letter word, A-L-L. He's going to use it again at the end of this passage. But right now he's underlying a principle right here about sharing all good things. To have spiritual endurance, this sharing comes into play when he gets to verse 10, I think it is. When he gets into the principle of sowing and reaping, he talks about doing good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. But as we move on, not only we're to never to stop learning, to never stop teaching, but we never stop sowing. The biblical principle of sowing and reaping what you sow. Verse 7, he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So this path of discipleship that we're on, it's also all about sowing in our lives and in the lives of others as well. So when you start practicing these principles, when you start sowing, when you start planting seed, when you start practicing these spiritual disciplines, don't become discouraged from a lack of quick, visible growth and results. These principles that you start implementing in your life, you may not see results right away. When you start teaching other people spiritual disciplines, you may not see the results right away, and especially when you start sharing the gospel. You may plant the seed, and it may be years and years and years down the road before you actually see growth and results. So the Apostle Paul teaches here about the principle of sowing and reaping. However, it is in verse 9 that he emphasizes that there is often patience required in the process of sowing and reaping. He says, "For it is in due season that we shall reap if we do not lose heart." So Jesus taught about the parable of the sower and the seed in Matthew chapter 13. He said, "Some of the seed fell to the wayside. Some of it fell on rocky soils. Some of it grew up among the thorns and got choked out." But he said that there was some seed that was sown that endured. It fell on fertile soil and it produced 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. All of the seed went out. Some of it fell on fertile ground. Some of it fell on stony ground. All of it had the potential, and where it landed, it didn't grow immediately. It took it a while, but eventually it started producing more and more and more. In our life, each and everything that we do has a consequence. Sometimes it's a bad consequence. Sometimes it's a good consequence. Years and years of neglect on the human body will result later on down the road, with maybe a part of the body wearing out, something giving way. But nevertheless, what you sow early on in your life and throughout your life, at some point in time, you're going to reap. Charles Stanley always said this about the principle of sowing and reaping. He says, "You reap what you sow more than you sow later than you sow." Now, the thing to remember about the principle of sowing and reaping is that sometimes it can be positive and sometimes it can be negative as well. So to have spiritual endurance, you need to understand that as you are sowing, as you are planting seed in someone else's life, you will see results at some point in time. It may not be as quick as you want it to be. It may not be as noticeable as you thought it would be. But according to what God teaches in his word, when you sow, eventually you're going to reap what you have sown. If you have reaped bad seed, you're going to get, if you've sown bad seed, you're going to reap a bad harvest. If you've sown good seed, you'll see a good harvest at some point in time. So one example of sowing the wrong seed and it later catching up with someone, we can find that in the book of Genesis with the story of Jacob. Jacob was a deceiver, and early on in his life, he deceived his father Isaac into getting his brother Esau's birthright. He sowed some bad seeds early on in his life, and he thought he had gotten away with it. And all throughout his early years, he said, "Man, I got away with stealing my brother Esau's birthright. He's mad at me. I tricked my dad. I got what was good for me." And he thought he had gotten away with it. But that seed that he had sown early on in his life came back to haunt him later on. Many years down the road, he fell in love with a young lady by the name of Rachel, the daughter of Laban. And it was at that point That seed that he had sown early on in his life, he reaped it later on in his life. Because what happened was Laban, in turn, tricked him into thinking he was marrying his daughter Rachel, which Jacob had fallen in love with. But Laban had tricked him, and the girl that he did marry was Leah instead. So Jacob reaped what he had sown, but it was much, much later in his life. So in God's word, the Apostle Paul is saying here, if you want to have spiritual endurance, if you want to continue on gaining ground, be careful of what you sow. Make sure that what you are sowing is the seed of God's word. Make sure that what you are sowing is on track with what God has planned for your life. Sowing God's word. Some of you here for many, many years, you've taught God's word. You've been a part of the teaching process here at First Baptist Church. Some of you have taught at home. Maybe you've done homeschooling. You've taught your kids all throughout their lives. Some of you here have taught in the public school systems, and you're probably just like me. And at some point in time, you thought, man, they're never going to learn this. But you didn't give up. You just kept on sowing. You kept on teaching. You kept on plowing right along. And eventually that seed took root and it grew. So that's my prayer here as I continue teaching through these sermons, as we continue sowing the seed of the gospel out in our community, that at some point in time, it's going to take root. And that good seed that we have sown, we're going to reap a harvest at some point. So here's what God teaches in his word about sowing the seed of the gospel. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 11. Isaiah writes this. He says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Here's where the principle of sowing and reaping comes in. He says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So if you're getting tired of sharing the gospel with someone, if you're getting tired of teaching God's word, if you're getting tired of ministering to people and not seeing any result, don't lose heart. Make sure that you're moving forward with that spiritual endurance needed, and that you hold on to God's promise, saying that what you sow, at some point in time, you'll get to reap. And we look at it through the lens of God's word, as we look at it as a positive aspect, as we look at it as something that is going to produce, we see that God promises that what you sow, at some point in time, you're going to reap. And if we're reaping the seed of God's word, according to his word right here, it's not going to return void. At some point in time, we're going to see that harvest. So to maintain the spiritual endurance in your life, don't stop sowing. Just hang in there. Don't get weary. Don't get tired. Don't lose heart. But continue sowing what God has in his word. Never stop blessing either. Sometimes it's hard to continue doing good things for people when all they're doing is just taking advantage of you and maybe throwing it back in your face. The principle of sowing and reaping that Paul is solidifying here in his word, as he starts talking about teaching, as you start talking about learning, as you start talking about the principle of sowing and reaping, he moves into something that he's touched on already in the book of Galatians. Verse 9, he says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all." There's that word "all" again. "Especially to those who are of the household of faith. Blessing people. Finding people to pour out God's blessings upon. Growing weary and doing good. How much is too much? How do you know when you've reached your limit? The Apostle Paul gives a warning here. He says, do not grow weary. He said, growing weary is a high probability. It is a high possibility. Anyone that has been involved in ministry knows some point in time I'm going to experience burnout. If I continue just pouring out blessings, but I don't do any self-care, I'm going to experience burnout. The Apostle Paul here says, growing weary is a possibility. He says, but we must continue on. We must have that spiritual endurance and not grow weary while we're doing good. How much is too much? How do you know when you've reached the limit? Some of you are just like me. Sometimes you tend to overload yourself. Sometimes you just keep going and going and going and going and going, and you don't see the warning signs in your own body and in your own life. Other people can pick it up way quicker than you can. But it's very, very easy if you're in the ministry, whatever ministry you do, whether it's vocational or not, that possibility, that probability is always there to experience some type of burnout. So marathon runners, I've never run a full marathon. I've run 5Ks before, but I can imagine what it feels like to run a marathon. Marathon runners experience something called hitting the wall. The body stores up a carbohydrate called glycogen. And when that is stored up, when all of that is stored up, is depleted, fatigue and negativity quickly sets in. You've seen these runners before. They're limp. They can't stand up on their own. They got to have somebody help them continue to move on. They have to get them off of the racetrack. They're just barely able to stand up under their own strength. So simply put, their body just completely runs out of strength. Do not grow weary in doing good. Is there a spiritual version of hitting the wall? Absolutely. If you're continuously blessing another person, if you're pouring into their lives, there is that possibility of hitting the wall and being completely depleted. That's why the Apostle Paul teaches earlier on in the letter to Galatians, he says, walk in the Spirit. Most of the times the danger is this. We want to do everything under our own strength. That's a very, very, very dangerous place to be. Sometimes we think, Lord, I don't need your help. I got this. I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to show everybody that I can do it. And what happens is eventually we get weary. We run out of strength. Our endurance comes to an end. And everything ends up just being a total failure. The word weary here in the Greek language means to become discouraged, to give up, or to lose heart. Anybody here ever thought about giving up? I know I have. I know probably most of us have. We get discouraged so easily. Things don't go quite the way we expect them to. We pour out a blessing into someone's life. We never see them again. Maybe they reject it. Maybe they go the opposite direction. We see the opposite effect of what we intended. And it's so, so easy to get discouraged. And you stand off and you back up and you say, you know what? I'm never doing that again. I tried multiple times. But the Apostle Paul here says, don't grow weary in doing good. As a matter of fact, he flips that around. He says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. especially to those who are of the household of faith. All means all, and that's all means. He says, don't just be nice to the people that you like. Don't just have a select few that you're ministering to. As you have opportunity, do good to all people. Never stop blessing those who are in need. The word weary here. Don't become discouraged. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Sometimes we just say, you know what? It's just not worth the effort. And I'll tell you what, that's exactly what the devil wants you to think. Charles Stanley uses the acronym HALT. He says to never, ever, ever let yourself get hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. Don't grow weary while doing good. Take care of other people, bless other people, but you got to take care of yourself as well to maintain that spiritual endurance. When you get tired, discouragement enters into your thoughts. You begin responding to and feeding off of the negativity from others around you. And then when that happens, what do you do? Where do you go? Where do you turn? Do you hit the wall? Do you just stop right there? Do you give up? Do you throw in the towel? But if you want to have that spiritual endurance, what do you have to do? You have to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. That's why the writer of the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 12, he says this, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Paul here is saying, I've been through it all. I've been shipwrecked. I've been beaten. I've been trying my best to bless these churches in Asia Minor. I've been all over the Mediterranean Sea. I've been blessing people. I've been through it all. He says, the thing that you need to remember is don't grow weary while doing good. And as you have the opportunity, do good to everyone. Don't just pick and choose. When you see someone in need, you reach out to them. Keep your eyes on Jesus to maintain that spiritual endurance. Why do we keep our eyes on Jesus? Because we all need an example. We all need encouragement. We all need that endurance in our life. Verse 10. Let us do good to all. Could there be a more practical piece of advice than this? Just do good. That's what I want to tell some people. Man, if you would just do the right thing, if you would just sow some good seed in your life, you'll be able to reap the blessings that God has for you as well. Some people, they start telling me all the problems that they have. So just do good. Just do what the Lord wants you to do. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So what do we do when our endurance has reached the end, when we feel like we're about to hit the wall, when we start showing those signs and symptoms of burnout? What do we do? How do we handle it? Some people can't handle it. Some people don't know what to do. Some people have nowhere to go, but we have a hope that is found in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. What do you do when you're in danger of hitting the wall? What do you do when you're in danger of experiencing burnout? Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious what shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. And are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom, are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend. That's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. I think it's probably safe to say that 90% of our burdens, our worries, our troubles and our struggles that we go through are all because we just haven't shared them with Jesus. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest in your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So do you have that spiritual endurance? Are you ready to run that race? Are you ready to continue doing good to all every time you have that opportunity? And right now in your life, are you sowing the seed that will help you have that spiritual endurance later on in your life? Because the enemy wants to get you down. He wants to distract you. He wants to make sure that you're not taking care of yourself. Look, it's kind of hard to take care of other people when you're laid up in a hospital bed. It's kind of hard to take care of other people and bless other people when you're limited in things that you can do, when you're burnt out, when you hit the wall, when you're short-tempered, you just aren't as effective as you should be. I think the Apostle Paul is laying a very, very practical principle here. Make sure that you're sowing everything into your life that you need to maintain that spiritual endurance that's needed for everyone that's in ministry. For everyone that is wanting to do good to others as much as possible. We all have our limits. We all have our abilities. But we all need to look to Jesus to gain that strength that we need and to be effective ministers for the gospel of Jesus Christ. John Logan, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer, please?
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.